68, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm number 51 and verse 1. Psalm number 51 and verse 1. In these terrible times in which we live, I need to warn the believer that you are not above the enemy trying you, tempting you, or testing you, but that you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord and stay close to Him, lest you find yourself fallen to a place so low that only the Lord can pick you up. How many of you found Psalm 51 verse 1? Say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is no unfamiliar word to the believers, but I just want to make sure that we understand the circumstances surrounding this word. Scholars tell me this is a year after King David had his ravenous escapade with Bathsheba, a young woman who one evening was bathing in his bathing pool outside of his veranda. And he stepped out on his veranda and looked out and happened to see her and called her to his chambers, and the rest many of you know, but if not, you'll find it in the story. It is where King David found himself, he, a man after God's own heart. He, a man whom the Lord elevated from a shepherd to a king. He, the one who God gave supernatural power to kill a lion and a bear while guarding his father's sheep. He, the one God gave supernatural power to destroy Goliath when he was breathing out threatenings against the God of Israel. He, the one who Saul was jealous of, and Israel sung their song, that Saul had killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. this man, David, who was anointed to make music before God that God himself enveloped himself in. This man, David, who could dance before the Lord, that the glory of God came down. This man, David, whom God had anointed with a special anointing because he desired to know God in the inward parts and to be close to God and to have the presence of God in his life. This man who knew holiness and who knew righteousness had slipped and fallen because of sin that brought him down to the point where death was better than life. And so here he cries out, "Have mercy upon me, O God." I need you to hear him pleading now, because everything in him now is torn up. It is messed up. It is filled with sorrow. It is broken and contrite. And he recognizes that he played the fool, that he took his eyes off of God and put his eyes on Bathsheba, and Bathsheba caused him to fall. Now listen at this, brothers and sisters, because one of the things I want you to see is I appreciate the fact that David didn't blame Bathsheba. David didn't do like Adam and blame Eve for his mess ups, like most men will do. It's always, "Well, I would have done, but so-and-so did this, caused me to do this." No, be a man. You had the responsible part. And if you messed up, make clear that it was your responsibility to do the right thing, and you chose not to do what was right. And so I want you to see, because he makes this request of the Lord, but there are two ramifications connected to the request. First of all, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Listen at the O. The O is really emphatic, because he's trying to make clear that the inward part of his soul is crying out to God. This is not just a simple word of prayer, of confession, of repentance. This is as deep as it gets. Now listen at the ramification. Ramification one. "According to thy loving kindness." Thy loving kindness. Now, the first thing David is saying is, "Lord, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Here's what he's telling God. "God, I've messed up so bad, I don't want you to look at me. I want you to stay God. I want you to remain who you are in spite of my mess ups. I don't want you to look at me and grade my paper at the rate I deserve it, but I need you to grade my paper based on who you are. According to your loving kindness." He's making clear, "God, I'm begging for mercy. I mean, at its most profound level." Then ramification two, "According," listen, "unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." Tender mercies. The word tender here means gentle. It means concerned. It means compassionate. He's saying, "I want you to have mercy on me according to your tender mercies." Why does he put a plural on mercies and not mercy? because he is not grouping all of his sins into one sin. He's categorizing his sins, and he's saying, God, I want you to have mercy on every one of my sins. Now, you're going to find out David knows some things that we know. There are some things we've done, and I don't want you to get holier than thou on me this morning. There are some things you know you shouldn't have done that you did willingly, don't you? Are y'all going to talk to me this morning? There are some places you knew you shouldn't have gone, you went on anyhow. There are some acts you committed that you know was against God's word, against God's will, and against God's way. But your flesh got weak, and you succumbed to the temptation of the enemy. There are times when God has said, do a thing, and you knew God told you to do it, and you refused to do that thing. Don't act like we don't know what the right way is. Sometimes we choose to walk in the wrong way. And at least we ought to have the sense enough to confess our sins and to tell God, God, I'm sorry. Listen, I messed up. I did wrong. I got weak. I played the fool. I let something I knew wasn't good for me, but because I thought it would be good to me, I did it anyhow. Then we start singing songs like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. But then when sin sets in, it changes all of the things that are worthwhile in the Spirit of God. Now notice what he says, because I want you to pay particular attention to this next portion where he continues his request. Blot out my transgressions. Let me just walk through a few of these verses and help you understand here. In that second verse, he says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. Then he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. It's gotten to the point where, listen, he can't hide from his sin. His sin is in his conscious state daily. In other words, when he wakes up and look in the mirror, his sin is in the mirror. When he eats his breakfast, his sin is staring at him in his oatmeal. When he puts on his clothes can't hide his sin. The sin is saying, you can cover me up, but I'm still right here. You might look good on the outside, but sin is all on the inside. He could not get away from his sin. His sin kept reminding him of what he had done. Look at what he says, against thee, verse 4. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, what was he telling God? He said, God, listen, I don't want you to be overly hard on me because I'm confessing I messed up. I'm confessing I have sinned. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. Now, here's what I need you to understand. That's not an accurate statement, because David sinned more than against God. He sinned against Bathsheba. He found out Bathsheba was a married woman. He sinned against Uriah. her husband had him killed. He sinned against the baby that was born in sin and died 7 days later. He sinned against multiple people, and because of his position, many who had looked up to him, he messed up the example of being the man of God that God wanted him to be. And so he's making clear, above all of these other people I have sinned against, I have sinned the greatest against you. Nobody has done for me what you've done for me. Nobody has elevated me like you've elevated me. Nobody has blessed me like you blessed me. I've sinned the greatest against the Holy God. So what he goes on to tell him is important, because verse 5 says, behold, focus in God. He tells him, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, after looking at this and checking out, researching this, what David was saying was, God, don't be too hard on me, because I was a part and under a generational curse. Listen at me now. And that's why so many of us have got to be careful about the generational curses we pass on to our children. David was saying, my mother was not married to my father when I was conceived. Are y'all listening to me? He's saying, my father messed with my mother and was not married with her, and in sin was I conceived. So my daddy and my mama weren't married when I was conceived, and here I've committed another generational curse by having a married woman, and then she became pregnant, and I tried to cover it up. I tried to get her husband, who was one of my main warriors, brought off the firing line to come home and be with his wife. But he was so faithful to me in the army, he wouldn't sleep with his wife, thinking about the brothers out there on the front line. I even had her to get him drunk, but he laid on the side of the bed on the floor and wouldn't touch him. And then I wrote a letter, told him to bring it to the captain of the army. And the letter said, put Uriah on the front line. And in the heat of battle, pull back to make sure he gets killed. So he, listen, because of his generational curse, went on to do things that kept bringing him down. The baby that Bathsheba and David had, the first child, died 7 days later. Even though he fasted and prayed and asked God to spare the baby's life, but God refused. And so he said in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. What was he saying? He was saying, God, you're teaching me a lesson. You're showing me that I've got to make sure that I've got to keep my mind right, my thoughts pure, that I've got to walk in the ways and the truths of God, because if I don't do that, God, whatever is in my heart will come out, And if it's against your word, your will, your way, it will bring destruction. So you're teaching me how to have wisdom in my heart. My brothers and sisters, he then goes on to say, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Then he tells me, make me to have to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He's saying to the Lord, listen, hide thy face from my sins. And here's that word again. Blot out all mine iniquities. My brothers and sisters, he's saying, Lord, if you don't cleanse me, if you don't change me, Lord, if you don't fix me, I can't go on like I'm going on. Listen, his consciousness had gotten to him to the point that life was not worth living if God did not change him. And I'm talking about a true change. I'm not talking about no surface prayer. I'm not talking about no God just, you know, touch me, fix me. I'm talking about, Lord, rearrange me. Do in me what nobody else can do, but I need you to begin with forgiving me. Now look at this word blot, and I'm through. The word blot came from an accounting term where accountants who had charges or records where there was something that would be crossed out, X'd out, removed from the record, they would blot it out. And the blotting out meant that it was no longer relevant, that it was given another chance, if you will. And so he was asking God, God, I need you to blot out, back to verse 1, my transgressions. Then I need you to blot out all mine iniquities. Now you would think the word transgressions and iniquities and sin were just all synonymous words, but they're all very different for a reason. Transgression means to have the knowledge of the law and rebel against it anyway. It's like seeing a sign saying no trespassing, and then you choose to go on the people's property anyhow. That's called trespassing. When he talks about iniquities, iniquities have to do with vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. It has to do with being in an atmosphere that is not conducive to holy living. And you know, the Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Because that's an atmosphere of iniquity. You know, if you hang around mess long enough, you start smelling like mess. Somebody don't hear me. If you start acting like those who are in iniquity, they tell you association brings on assimilation. And so God does not want us, he does not want us to handle ourselves around that is vain, that is foolish, and that is nothingness. When you see folk acting a fool, you know what you best do? Leave the fool alone. I wish I had a witness here. When you hear somebody talking crazy and foolish and all that, because how many times have fights broken out because folk were talking foolish talk? And then one foolish person started talking, and another one picked up. And before you know it, that stuff broke out. And innocent folk have gotten killed by being around fools. And then the word sin has to do with missing the mark. It's a willful, deliberate act of doing something against the will of God. Missing the mark. David repeatedly keeps saying all through this psalm, wash me, cleanse me, blot out my transgressions, my iniquities, my sins. Wash me with hyssop. The word hyssop has the reference to the Passover, when the blood of that perfect lamb, 1 year old, was taken and put in a basin. And that blood was taken with hyssop and sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel. And it was so that the death angel would pass by and not kill the firstborn. The hyssop is used as a symbol of having the blood to blot out the transgression. Now listen, it didn't necessarily mean, and I want you to get this, that it made what was under the blood invisible. But what it did, the blood left such a stain that was unique to the blood only. No other color could have the stain that the blood left. And so even if they could see what the blood covered, when the blood covered it, it made it of none effect. You see, you remember at the Passover, it didn't matter who was behind the door. Murderers could have been behind the door. Prostitutes could have been behind the door. All kinds of evil men could have been behind the door. But if it was behind the blood, the death angel passed. Have I got a witness in the house?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's.
Hey, God bless you and greetings, and at all powerful